Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. Far from the big screen of Hollywood, Jennifer Kidwell, who's African-American, and Scott Shepard, who's Caucasian, have been pushing the boundaries of race and entertainment that we've been looking at all week long. Audience by audience, they test the limits of physical theater at their Philadelphia-based company, Lightning Rod Special. Kidwell and Shepard were the co-creators and performers in the Underground Railroad game, a thought-provoking and at times uncomfortable performance that highlighted the tension between the history of slavery and the myths we tell ourselves about that history. John Hockenberry talked to Kidwell and Shepard about the comedic risks they took and what they hoped to accomplish by playing the Underground Railroad game.
The piece doesn't take place necessarily along the Underground Railroad, but if we were to use the Underground Railroad, the myth of the Underground Railroad as a metaphor, then we start getting to things that we're looking at in the piece, and that's this myth of the white savior, the black body in distress, and the simplicity with which we want to tell these stories about.
Yeah, I would say it's more about that the American imagination, the cultural imagination, is a feeding ground for all sorts of kinds of lies. And we take from truths and we add to them and we romanticize them so that we come up with these versions that can kind of mollify our anxiety about the truths that are staring us right in the face if we didn't have some way to hide from them.
And our piece specifically, guilt and like reparations, those are things that come up as well.
You structure this piece around a relationship. On some level, you go from relationships that were hidden to relationships that were forbidden to relationships that are completely normal. And there's somehow a line from one to the other, yet we don't know how we got here.
Yeah, the relationship arc is really interesting because one of the things we're really looking at is when you see a person, how much do you see of that person and how much do you see the idea of that person? And we kind of push into the darkest possible territories as we explore this particular relationship, kind of to see if there's anything left.
Can there be a love story?
That's
right. In the midst of all of this pain and torture and degradation?
But, you know, we put ourselves back on the auction blocks. We are looking at nude bodies. We are...
And language.
Yeah, we're...
Like, how we actually signify our bodies. Like, if you put yourself in relationship to an auction block, all of a sudden you step out of yourself and you become an image that isn't necessarily you. One thing that the piece tries to do as well is understand that just as much as a slave's position on an auction block creates a sign, the relationship of the white person to the auction block also creates a sign, and that's a situation and a system out of which that person can't step.
What was it like?
It's a real conundrum because obviously there's different, you know, levels of agency when you're in a reenactment situation, when we specifically kind of play out a BDSM sex scene.
Yeah, we should be clear, though, that actually my character does not get on an auction block. It's Scott's character who
right,
does.
Right, right.
So there's an inversion there, which I think is this thing that I was saying earlier about, like, we all have a relationship to that system.
What do audiences say about the inversions and the BDSM and the various, elements that you use to really challenge people?
One thing that makes it complex to me is this question that can come up of whether or not that's a way of a system of reparations, that it's it's revenge fantasy,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think it's entirely divorced from that. But I, you know, hate to think that it's merely a revenge fantasy because that actually the system of like master slave then is allowed to perpetuate itself, right? If it's merely revenge, all we've done is switched positions, and hopefully it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
Do you feel the revenge in the scene?
In the way that he and I, like these two people are competing with each other, I think there's a latent competition that runs throughout the piece. And so there are moments in that scene where my character is in charge, but then I think by the end, that's really up in the air.
In that scene, what's really interesting is that I'm kind of on a race towards selflessness, right? Like I'm trying to become the purest, most heightened version of the white savior by putting myself into this revenge fantasy, by allowing it to happen. So there's this funny way in which we're both playing out a really perverse fantasy, and then we both kind of have to stand back and look at that fantasy and say, did that really get us anywhere? Or are we just kind of trying to expiate our guilt by doing these things that aren't actually about you know, coming together and learning from the past.
But in the meantime, you get to see some powerful feelings about the history you carry, and you get to see in him his ability to switch it all off, because he's like, he's white. He can just switch it all off.
Well, that's the thing, though. We're all linked to the history. Like, we can't just divorce white people from the system.
Right.
And we can't say that, you know, like, white body is constantly in a situation of perpetuating and instigating violence. There's a reciprocal violence that happens to a person, even if you're the one holding the whip. And so when we start to think about things in those terms, then maybe we can figure out how change can actually be affected.
The power of that scene is not in the action of that scene. It's actually in the aftermath. Like, once the game kind of breaks and they both of the characters step away from it and look at each other, that's the longest silence in the piece. And if there's any kind of healing or understanding or humbling, that's where the reconciliation is happening.
You believe?
Not often, but there was a very conspicuous exit during that scene as soon as Scott stepped on the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the theater is tight. And like, we pack these people in so close. They're like, we want to leave, but we can't leave because we're like sardines. But these people were like, I don't care if I have to crawl over you. I'm getting out.
Do you feel like you've overstepped?
I mean, that's a huge part of the piece. That's a question we ask ourselves inside the piece as people who've kind of, if there's any moment where we kind of unmask.
How far can we go?
How far can we go? And is it right to go that far?
Yeah.
Jennifer and Scott, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.